biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back. Another Transforming Conversation. And Pastor Rock, I'd like to throw a quote to you that I heard you mention in a recording from some years ago. And I think it is so relevant even for today. And I would love for you to expound a little bit on this quote and just bring some new light to it, if you will. The quote went, "In ministry, the joy comes after the conflict." Now, at first hearing that, I think we can all draw some conclusions to it. But I think it's a very powerful quote because it really is a saying of encouragement. It is a saying that brings hope. And in that message in which you shared that quote, you mentioned that early on in your career, you were something of a rascal to those that were trying to minister in the church. And
no, I was holy when I came out of my mother's womb.
you come out with the halo, huh? And it's just an interesting quote that you did in the story that you told, but I would love to encourage some folks by that, if you would.
Sure, yeah. Well, when I was growing up in the church, and I was very blessed and fortunate to have grown up in a home where mother and father were both Jesus followers and serious followers of Jesus, and where I was introduced to God's word literally daily because we had a family devotional time after supper each night, and three or four times a week in the setting of our local Alliance Church where my family attended. So I was very privileged to have that ongoing exposure to God's word. And just as importantly, to have parents who were modeling it. And again, especially in terms of the miraculous, my father with some of the miracles and words of knowledge and so on that we would see pretty routinely in his life that couldn't be explained apart from the presence of God and the work of God.
Right.
But all of that didn't translate into immediate faith on my part. Being raised in a Christian environment doesn't make one a believer.
Right.
And my friends of my same age and I, most of us were fighting hard to remain unbelievers, resenting the altar calls and people turning around and looking at us, literally, during an altar call to see if we were finally going to crack and go forward. Oh, my. I can remember some times where I just couldn't wait for a service to end. It was just, unspeakable horror, you know, in a small church and everybody knows you're fighting God. But I think back to the people, the good people who taught me in Sunday school.
Yes.
The folks who worked with me in the junior high group, in the senior high group, and then in the summers in the college fellowship and so on. And how many times they must have been frustrated by not only my lack of response, but my indifference, my mockery. I mean, I can remember being in youth group when we were supposed to all be on our knees praying and different people taking turns praying aloud. Well, I never prayed, but some of my friends and I on our knees would be playing cards underneath the chairs or
no kidding.
Telling each other jokes or goofing around and,
right.
you know, disrupting things.
Yeah.
And at times sent out, which was never a good experience because when you got sent out of your church group to my dad,
uh-oh.
There was only one conclusion to that, and it wasn't pretty. And I'm sure a lot of those folks just felt like, you know, they were throwing Jell-O at Teflon, that nothing was sticking.
Right.
And that it was an impossible task.
Right.
And that, you know, I would never come around, nor my friends. And yet, years later, by God's grace, after saying I'd never darken a church door the rest of my life, you know, I came to faith. And God transformed my life. And I don't know if all those people were still alive when that happened. Some of them, I'm sure, were not. I'm sure some of those who prayed for me, who watched during those altar calls, who... when they were instructed to pray for somebody in the room who needs to come forward, were praying for me by name. I'm certain some of them died without seeing, but unbeknownst to them, in a very real way, I'm not speaking, you know, poetically or symbolically, they will share, I believe, in whatever reward I receive for now 40 years of pastoral ministry, because they were a part of God's working to bring me to this place. And so, for those people, when they were praying for me, witnessing to me, working with me, loving on me, there wasn't a whole lot of joy for them in that. I'm sure some of them went home at times discouraged, thinking,
yeah,
well, these kids aren't listening. They're tuning me out. They have no interest. I swear I'm making things worse because I'm just ticking them off.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, what's the point?
I'm making them resentful.
Right.
What's the point? What am I doing here?
Right.
And yet, years later, I came to faith, and I didn't come to faith just out of the blue.
Right.
It was the Holy Spirit convicting me on the basis of all the truth that I had heard.
Right.
And all the truth that I had seen embodied by those youth workers and Sunday school teachers and so on. And so, they, some of them, died never knowing the outcome. Others knew the outcome, and when I would come home, would, you know, evidence their joy over how my life had turned out. But they had to wait a good time and wait through some pretty dark and unpromising moments before the joy of seeing me come to faith was their experience.
Right.
And so anybody doing the Lord's work, whether it's as a mother raising children, a father raising children, a believer doing all things as unto the Lord and sharing their faith when they have the opportunity, praying for people, working in children's ministry, working in youth ministry, working out in the community. anybody doing that is going to experience conflict before they experience joy.
Right.
Because what they're doing is more than just good deeds. What they're doing is an act of spiritual warfare.
Exactly.
I mean, when you share the gospel of Christ, that's an act of war in the spirit realm. And when you embody the teachings of Christ and touch people's lives in his name, that's an act of spiritual warfare. You have enemies who see you as the enemy and who are going to push back and come against you.
Right.
So there'll always be conflict in the spirit realm, and Satan will always seek to conflict your emotions, to discourage you, to tell you you're not making any difference. Nobody's listening to you. If you disappear tomorrow, they'd never miss you.
Right, exactly.
But if you hold on and remain faithful through the conflict, joy does come in the morning. You know, weeping may endure for a night. And weeping is always worse at night. Everything's worse at night.
That's
right. Sickness
is
worse at night. Sorrow is worse at night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, there is a morning. Joy comes in the morning. And so if you're somebody listening to this conversation and you can't point at anything and say, because I've been doing this, here's the good that has happened, don't be discouraged and don't give up.
That's right. That's right.
Stay in the conflict. It's worth fighting for somebody's spiritual eternal destiny. And it's worth fighting for the glory of God. Stay in the conflict, whether on this side of eternity or on the other side, your joy will come.
Amen.
Because God's word never returns to him in vain. It's never proclaimed in vain, and it never returns to him void.
That's right.
It always has effect. And even if that effect isn't a particular individual's salvation, because
right.
not everybody we witness to has got to come to Jesus.
Right.
Yet, you're declaring the gospel of God in the spirit realm, added to the momentum of God's kingdom in a broken world.
Right, right.
And it honored God.
Mm.
Because to continue to utter God's truth when people are scoffing at it honors God.
Amen.
It shows that your commitment to God is deep enough and significant enough that the scoffing and the mockery of the world won't silence you. And that honors God. And honoring God is something that produces great joy.
That's right.
Because those who honor God, God honors.
Amen.
And if you one day have the privilege of hearing him say, as you honored me, I now honor you. That's joy.
Amen.
So press on. Some of the least likely candidates may end up pastors and cross-cultural evangelists. I mean, I look back even at my days in Nyack College and Alliance College, where there was chapel 5 days a week, and the whole education was grounded in the Word of God and included the Word of God. And, you know, I was in a sort of a subsequent mini-rebellion then. I had come to faith, I'd been born again, but then in my college years, I slipped back a bit. I never, you know, denounced my faith or anything like that, but neither was I living it very well. And I wasn't alone. There were a lot of Christian kids for whom this was their first time away from home. And so they were trying stuff that they could never try at home.
Sure.
But I look back and some of the least likely candidates for ministry and mission field are the very people who, like me, became pastors and missionaries.
That's right.
And some of the more likely candidates, sadly, their lives subsequently went off the rails a bit.
Yeah.
And so God is often working through us and he's working in the lives of people that we would never guess are going to become his ambassadors.
Amen.
And it ain't over till it's over. Keep on in the conflict, and whether in this life or the next, the joy will come, because those who honor God, he honors.
Amen.
And his word doesn't return void. And some of the least likely will become some of the most effective.
That's right.
And we'll have, I think, one of the great joys of heaven will be when we see how some of our activity that we thought was pointless, useless, and ineffective actually was used by God to create ripple effects that we could have never imagined. Because think of the people who invested in my life. And I've had the privilege to preach to thousands weekly.
Right.
And then those people go out and share. And, I've had the privilege of addressing missionaries literally around the world. And then they go share things that they heard from me in Africa and, you know, Malaysia and Colombia and Spain and on and on. And then those people who hear it and come to Jesus, then they go out and share. And, you know, when you drop a stone in the lake, you don't know how far those ripples are going to go.
That's right.
But keep dropping your stones.
Yeah.
And in heaven, God will tell you how far the ripples went. And when you see it, I'm confident it'll produce great joy.
Well, to your point, I don't know if you're aware of this, a missionary that was just in Bungalow, the hospital there,
mm-hmm.
asks for some of your teachings, preaching, and we sent, I think, 2 or 3 years worth of your teaching,
mm-hmm.
because their internet is so spotty that they would try to listen, and then it would break up after a minute or two, and they could never get it. So we sent a flash drive with one of the missionaries with a number of years of your teachings, so that their staff and those people there on the ground can listen. So to your point, these teachings now, or even from years ago, are going out.
Yeah.
And so these folks that invested in your life when you were a teen. And one of the strengths that I think we have here at ACAC is our volunteers.
Oh, absolutely. Is the church.
They're the lifeblood, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they are. And I think of children's ministry alone, there's over 400 and some weekly
mm-hmm.
During the school year that we need just to pull off the ministry God has before us. And I'm sure that this is going to be an encouragement. And I wish I could just put this in everybody's hands. Everybody can hear this just to encourage them, you know. But I'm sure that they get tired and they get frustrated. And so,
well, again, you're in a conflict and your enemy wants you to give up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the enemy doesn't so much try to convince us to give up our faith. He just wants us to give up.
Yeah. Just to stop trying.
Keep believing. Keep trusting Jesus for yourself, but quit beating your head against the wall trying to bring other people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
He knows he can't take our salvation. He just doesn't want us to be carriers.
Yeah. Exactly. So in ministry, the joy comes after the conflict.
The joy comes after the conflict. The harvest comes after the sowing and the pruning and the watering and the weeding.
So keep on keeping on. It's worth it.
Amen.
Yeah. So thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you.